The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Social housing vacancy rates have decreased to 2.75%, while reletting times and costs continue to rise. The average time for reletting social housing was over 35 weeks, the highest recorded since 2014. Now, these new figures are contained in a 2024 Local Authority Performance Indicator report from the National Oversight and Audit Commission. I'm joined on the line by Michael McCarthy, chair of that National Oversight and Audit Commission. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the top lines here, 4,251 local authority housing units were vacant at the end of 2024. Filling them would not solve the housing crisis, but it would help.
No, it certainly would. It would make a huge inroad. So the National Oversight and Audit Commission itself, we're an independent oversight body of local authorities. So effectively, it's our remit to engage with the local authorities, all 31, gather this information and present it. Now, it'll be a focal point, I think, for local government researchers and for policy makers. But specifically in that point, Pat, like 4,251 vacant units is quite high. Now, in the overall scheme of the amount of housing stock that we have in this island, it's about 155,000 units. So proportion to that is actually quite small, but in reality, it's quite significant. Now, that would vary.
If you take the average occupancy, say four people, now it would be, I don't know what the real average is, because there'd be some lone parents with children, there'd be some older people, widowed people and so on. But if you take an average of four, you could be sorting out the problems for 13, 14, 15,000 people.
You could indeed. Now, while the vacancy, in effect, the vacancy rates have actually reduced, and that's what we pulled from this particular performance indicator report, but it shines a light on local authorities who are not doing what they need to do in order to avoid that rise in vacancy and also turn around the reletting times for those houses. Now, behind those particular stories, Pat, when we go into the local authorities in our scrutiny visits, and the local authorities come back into us in the department, for example, which are now recorded, all those proceedings are recorded. It's like a mini public accounts for local authorities. You tend to discover behind that particular statistic, there may be a reason why the vacancy rate could be so high. So, for example, they may purchase a property late in the year. That property would have to have pre-letting works done. That's added to the vacant stock. You may have, for example, a house that has been empty for a number of years, and the level of work that will be required will be kind of a deep refurbishment as opposed to a lick of paint. So you'd find the individual stories can vary from local authority to local authority.
And you have, say, a house that was maybe boarded up because of antisocial behaviour. That problem might not be resolved and the house has to stay boarded up.
Correct. And all of a sudden, it's on that vacant list, and that list grows and grows. Now, some of the local authorities would say, look, that in terms of trying to refurbish those houses, to relet those houses and get them back out again in terms of tenants, there is an issue around direct labour. Some of the local authorities, for example, might use contractors, but then the level of work required might be so significant that it takes an inordinate length of time. Now, some local authorities are better than others, but generally speaking, in the midst of a housing crisis, 4,251 vacant units is 4,251 vacant units too much.
Now, one of the things we have tried to do is to improve our housing stock. All new housing tends to be at least B-rated and possibly even A-rated. So the local authorities have been charged with the idea of retrofitting their housing. It looks like a disappointing figure. 2,634 units were retrofitted in 2024, a drop in the ocean.
Absolutely. I mean, the overall target is about 36,000. Now, this is a target that's contained in the government's climate action plan itself. And as we've pointed out in our report, unlikely to be met. Now, some local authorities would say there's an issue around, you know, acquiring a skill set to do that. Some might complain about the funding model from the department. But the reality is they're on target to miss that and miss it by, you know, a country mile. So in the overall scheme of things, we're hoping that local authorities can use our performance indicator result to bench a report to look at the performance they have in a particular area and benchmark that against others. Now, we organise an annual event called a Good Practice Seminar, where we get local authorities to present on good work they're doing in whatever area of activity that might be. But ultimately, in terms of, you know, addressing the kind of fundamental issue, you have the local authority itself and you have the department with its ministers who really need to kind of look at this report, investigate why they're falling down in some of these, you know, these key areas, and address that in terms of, you know, long-term solutions to the issues that arise.
Now, the way you spend your money is also important. You want to get value for money. 105.1 million was spent by local authorities on reletting costs for 3,375 units. I don't know, that sounds like about 3 grand per unit.
It does. Now, again, Pat, the question there is like, why is the cost of reletting so high? And it's an excellent question. But the range can be so vast. Now, some of the units that are kind of, you know, that are on that list, they're in such a poor state of repair after years of neglect. Now, you say to yourself, why is a local authority house sitting idle for a number of years? You may have, for example, a house that was allocated 40, 50 years ago to a family. That family had grown up and gone. The parents might be in a nursing home, one might be deceased. So then they're still effectively a tenant, but there's years of kind of neglect and a deterioration in standard in that house. Therefore, the extent to which that house needs to be refurbished is quite difficult, and that can add to those inordinate waiting times. But then again, the performance varies from local authority to local authority, and like you're comparing kind of big local authorities like Dublin City, for example, or Cork City or Cork County to other kind of local authorities, and some results are better than others.
Now, the report looked not only at housing but at other matters. What sort of areas did you find maybe something to concern us about the performance of local authorities?
Well, one of the key areas, Pat, is commercial rates. Okay, like this is a vital revenue stream for local authorities. Now, the collection rates themselves are at a very high rate. It's 92%. Now, probably reflective of a buoyant economy, but the housing loan rate, the housing loan collection rates were 88%, but in the case of rents, they remain steady at about 88%, but that's down from a 2021 figure of 91%. So we'll acknowledge the progress that has been made, but clearly, not all local authorities are addressing the collection levels in those three areas.
I mean, what is their power in terms of if someone doesn't pay the rent? And I mean, these rents are generally income related. So if you're poor, you pay less. And if you're well got, you pay more. That's the way.
Absolutely. And in some cases, people may genuinely have financial difficulty. But there's a requirement, in my belief, on part of the local authorities to look at this issue over arrears and put in place payment plans that can help people to get back on, you know, get back in the black with their rent rates. So it depends on the response of that individual local authority. Now, again, some others are better than others, but in the general scheme of things, for such a vital revenue stream, local authorities need to devise plans where there are tenants who are in arrears and address that in terms of long-term solutions.
Now, you look at things like water, waste and the environment, planning, the fire service, libraries, recreation, youth and community, corporate finance and economic development. It's a huge series of topics that you have to examine. How are we doing on pollution?
Well, pollution itself, that's one of our key headings in terms of the actual report itself. Now, it covers anything from litter to noise pollution, huge amount of complaints lodged to local authorities, generally doing well in terms of how they respond to that. And there are multiplicity of services provided by local authorities. And if you take, for example, another one, Pat, tourism, we discovered, and it's important to note, that the programme for government for this administration is a very strong emphasis on tourism, hugely dependent economies, not least in the coastal areas. But some local authorities don't have an officer, a tourism officer, a dedicated tourism officers, and others don't have strategies. We have five local authorities, for example, that don't have a tourism strategy. Now, ultimately, the National Oversight and Audit Commission doesn't have powers of formulating policies or, you know, enacting type of sanctions or penalties for these local authorities. But we hope that this report can stimulate that debate on the local authorities and the ministerial level to say, hold on a second, you don't have a tourism officer, you don't have a strategy, I want, you know, improvement in this area, like within a designated time frame.
Now, when you look at water and waste, I mean, these are the province now of Uisce Éireann. So what competences are left to the local authority and how do you measure their performances?
Well, it's very clear. So in terms of a report itself, this is one of our performance indicator reports, the environmental area. It's called E2. Now, it covers noise, but it covers all other pollution types. For example, air, noise, water, litter and waste. Now, that could vary from, you know, a polluted river to someone dumping a bag of rubbish on a country lane. But there were literally almost 80,000 pollution complaints were made to local authorities in 2024. And that was an increase of 5,500 on the previous year. Now, all the local authorities are equipped with personnel, you know, to investigate these and apply sanctions. So what we're doing is we're putting a spotlight on that particular behaviour. And it's encouraging to see that there are people who are very minded in terms of their, you know, requirements around being a dutiful citizen. And like 80,000 complaints is not to be sniffed at. So a particularly good result in that area for our local authorities.
Now, the final question is, are local authority workers likely to be sicker than others? Because you've got quite a startling figure. 271,785.61 days were lost due to certified sick leave. I don't know who the 0.61 was, but there you go.
Well, I suppose, Pat, like, you know, there's always going to be a level of sickness, right? And we know that in terms of long-term illnesses, for example, that can skew some of those figures. Mm-hmm. So it's important to question it and kind of monitor the trends over the years, and then look at kind of, you know, individual local authorities that have consistently poor rates in this area. But we validated that figure last year in 7 local authorities, and they told us that it's a key area for attention for them. And they've got wellness plans in place and various kind of follow-up interviews of people who have kind of longer-term illnesses, and they'll support and encourage staff. But the numbers of staff are back to 2009 levels, and local authorities, to their credit, are trying to ensure that they have got a good policies in place, not only in the areas of sickness, but in also in the areas of staff retention.
Now, it's a very interesting report, very informative. You've shone the spotlight. What happens next?
Well, ultimately, it's a matter for debate across our 31 local authorities. We have almost 950 people directly elected to our local authorities, and we've got, it's an area of huge kind of accountability and transparency. A lot of these meetings are streamed online. Our own scrutiny visits with the local authorities are streamed online. Now, we don't have that, power or function to enact sanctions, but ultimately it's a matter for the directly elected members of the local authorities and for the Minister and Minister of State in the department.
Michael McCarthy, who's the chair of NOAC, the National Oversight and Audit Commission.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.